This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. My guest today is Maria Krenarik, and I've been in touch with Maria a few times over the last few weeks. And it's an interesting time to talk to her because her area of study, her area of academic study is Icelandic music. And as you know, on RÚV English Radio over the last few weeks, I've had so many responses from you, and I asked for examples of bands and artists and composers and songwriters making music here in Iceland. So many people got in touch, which is fantastic. So I want to get some of the academic reason maybe behind why there is such a healthy music scene in Iceland. Mariek, welcome to RÚV English Radio.
Thank you.
You're here from Germany, but your PhD is Icelandic music. What exactly are you studying?
I want to look what is the special thing about Icelandic music. And yeah, I think that's at the moment forming a new genre, even if no Icelandic music artist would say that.
Where did your interest first come from?
So I'm a musician. I'm listening to music every time, and I traveled to Iceland several times. So I'm a teacher for music and arts in my normal life, and I want to do something different because I don't want to be a teacher in my whole life. So I have had to talk to my university, and so there was the idea to write a PhD, and then there was the idea to do it about Icelandic music.
Well, I think it's an excellent idea because a question a lot of people ask in Iceland is how can a country of fewer than 400,000 people have such a big and such a vibrant music scene? Let's start there. Have you uncovered an answer to that question, would you say?
Yeah, I'm on the way to uncover it. I think the core is that everybody loves the music and does that because I love it. Not to earn money and
But why? Because there are other creative fields as well where Iceland does really well. Writing, obviously. Literature is one.
Absolutely.
Cinema is a good example too, but music's a great example. Did you uncover any reasons as to why Iceland is a creative country?
Yeah, I think it's because it's a completely different environment. You have to deal with the next day, every time new, there's a new volcano erupting, then there are some earthquakes, then the weather is something like a storm, a snow, something different. You have to, the Icelanders strategies to solve the problems.
It's problem solving.
Yeah, I think
which is creative, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, they are not frightened to do anything new. They just do it and then just go on the stage. And because it's so near and everybody knows everybody and the swimming pools and everything.
Yes,
you're
under
the shower with somebody, you're naked. And
no one cares. It's
very, and everyone's open-minded and,
And a very collaborative place. We've had this conversation many times. You have the drummer in one band as the bassist in another band or whatever. That's something you've seen in your research?
Yeah, everybody says, so I knew this, we need a drummer, so let's call him.
Yes.
Okay, no, we need somebody who plays the bass. Or somebody who plays, he can sing. So everybody knows everybody, and this is the core.
Yes,
I would say. And because of that, they don't have the genre like we say in Germany, like, like metal or like hip-hop. Mm. So it's mixed up because everybody is working with the next one or with the best friend or,
When you speak to organizers of music festivals, they say that can be really difficult because they're trying to put a schedule together.
Yeah.
And they say, we can't have that band on at the same time as this band because this person's in both of them.
Yeah, I've worked at the Airwaves before 2 years. There has to be a driver, so it has to be very fast to bring the drummer to the next venue.
So it can be done, but they've got to be whipped across town.
The drummer isn't here.
What was the first Icelandic music that you heard? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was Sigur Rós.
Sigur Rós?
Yes, and it was the Blue album. It's Ágætis Byrjun.
Yeah, the first breakthrough album, I think. 99?
Yes, I think I listened to it a bit later. And There was a very good friend of mine, Kai. He told me about this, and then yeah, I loved it.
What grabbed you about it? What did you like about it?
I like it because it's something. It's more like a landscape or a soundscape, and then the dynamics, and it's so and then it's so piano, and then it's very big, and you're feeling that every time, and you have to listen to it very loud, and the whole room is vibrating, and that's I really love it.
I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, really, but that record, and I remember hearing it for the first time as well, it does sound like Iceland, doesn't it, in a way, because of the scale and the vast landscape that you can picture.
Yeah, I think that's maybe in the mentality of the music artists.
Yes.
It's in them. So, yeah, it's a cliche. It sounds like the landscape, and it's something I won't ask the musicians, because I think they don't like this.
No, they don't. But I mean, a lot of cliches have truth at their heart, don't they?
Yeah. And sometimes it's different when you look from the outside. I have another perspective than the music artists themselves.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your study. Once you had decided to write about and to research Icelandic music, where did you begin?
I just listened to music. This was the first beginning. Then I looked at the artists. Where are they from? What are they doing? Most of them are in the region of Reykjavik. And then I looked at social media and contacted them. And then I have to do interviews.
Yes.
And find out what they think about themselves and about their self-concepts, like musicians, and how they work, and how their songs take shape, and where they make their records. Is it home recording or something? Yes, and that's the biggest thing of it. It's the interviews.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah.
And in those interviews, did you learn anything that surprised you? You were obviously a fan of Icelandic music, but when you heard about how the records were made, when you heard about the creative process, was any of it surprising?
No, most of that was everything I found out before.
Okay, okay.
But that's good for my PhD, because that...
confirms the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really good. And, yeah, there are less music artists that say different things.
Which musicians did you speak to?
I first talked to Sole, and then I made another second interview, because I had to ask some more questions, and then the third interview. that was very nice. We met Sole several times, because she's very lovely. I met Nana, Baldwin Klinsson, Magnus Johan, Außer dir, da dort hier, and so I don't know, Lalo, Andre Olafsson from Moses Hightower. Yes,
you've got a lengthy old list there. Today, as we have our conversation, you've been having a meeting about the PhD that you are writing. So how's that going? What stage are you at?
Now I want to make the last interviews, and then I want to write the rest. And then I will finish it, because I'm working so many years on it. And
Has there been a study of the Icelandic music scene?
Yeah, there is something, but that's not so much. There's some work of Thorbjörg. She's at the Listhaus School here in Reykjavik. And there's a book with, she published it. It's Sounds Icelandic, is it called? And there's something one Norwegian guy wrote, he's called Tore Størvold, and he writes more about the landscape and the soundscape and the social environment. Yes, and I will be the first one who will analyze the music, and I want to find out what are the real features of this Icelandic music, and then I will find out if this is really a new genre.
If there is something that you can call Icelandic music. Because that's the other thing that's been striking. When I've had responses from musicians over the last few weeks, so many different what you would call genres. Yeah. There have been bands, there have been composers, there have been singer-songwriters, there has been indie-tronica.
Yeah.
And nothing has really united them other than they are people making music in Iceland.
I'm looking for the music artists that are really unique and maybe idiosyncratic and that you can't call a genre like...
Yes.
Like hip-hop or something that's really, that you only can find here in Iceland. And yeah, that are the music artists like Soley, Olafur, Arnalds, Jófríður or something. And yeah.
Yeah, because you're right, there are bands, I'm thinking of Moom, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would characterize them, electronica,
yeah,
I suppose, but that's a big label, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, it's electronic. It's also something of a soundscape. That I don't know what that should be for. Maybe your genre.
You're obviously a music fan as well. You love music.
Yeah.
You enjoy music. You, I think you said you worked at Airwaves for a year, more than 1 year?
Yeah. I worked at the Airwaves before 2 years.
For 2 years.
I'm also a piano player and a saxophone player, and I studied music at the university, so I'm, on the first side, I'm a musician.
Okay, so a music fan, but a musician,
yes.
Firstly. Do you perform here in Iceland, or would you want to perform here
yourself?
Yes,
I really want to, but it's not so easy to come in. I asked several musicians, but they said, yeah, we can't have a rehearsal because you're in Germany, or yes, I have somebody who's playing my piano, and it's difficult to come in.
But if you lived in Iceland, and I think you would like to at some point, you were saying,
yeah, then it's easier. When you're here, everything works. You have just call somebody, then, yeah, let's do that tomorrow. Or you write on Instagram or something. Let's meet tomorrow. Then it's totally easy. But when you're over the ocean, then you're far away.
And the other thing here in Iceland, of course, once you have your phone number and your Kennetala, that is a superpower. Everything is unlocked, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's maybe on the long-term horizon for you to move to Iceland?
Yeah, maybe. When my kid's a bit older, because my daughter also loves it, and she's also creative, and she wants to study design, she maybe can do it here. And yeah, she's... For a creative person, it's easier to live here than in Germany.
Why is that, do you think?
Here in Iceland, it's normal to be weird.
You don't seem very weird.
Oh, okay, because I'm natural-born German, but when I go back to Germany, everybody would say I'm weird. And
Yes. Well, maybe to go back to what we were talking about earlier, the creativity comes from that weirdness, or the weirdness comes from the creativity. You know?
Yeah, maybe. And that works together with open-mindedness, and work together with let's do it.
Yes, okay.
And let's start it, and yeah.
Well, you're making fantastic progress with this. We'd love to see you back in Iceland, living here and maybe performing and being part of the Icelandic music scene. Maybe one day someone will write a PhD about your music.
I will call you when I'm ready.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you today. Is this something that we'll be able to read when it's completed?
Yeah. So first time I do it in German, but I will publish it in English.
It could be translated to English.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get a chance to read your conclusions. Mariek, thank you very much. Great to meet you today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Through English Radio, I'm Darren Adam. You can get in touch with us anytime. English@ruv.is.
There's more from RUV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.